Welcome to the Finance Path Podcast, where we discuss all your burning questions relating to money, property, and investment for every stage of life. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Attard and Chris Collard.
Welcome, listeners. Mark Attard here, and you're listening to another episode of Money, Property, and You. It's springtime, and spring's known as selling season, especially in the states of Melbourne and Sydney, where auctions make up a large percentage of the properties sold. And conventional thinking is, with the turn of the weather, houses and gardens are looking their best, and in turn buying property. And also, because buying properties for an emotional purchase, it feels that this time of the year is often thought of as the best time for sellers to achieve the best results. Now, safe to say here in Melbourne, we're a little bit slow off the mark with regards to the weather this spring. We've got floods happening all over the place, but clearance rates of properties have still been relatively strong, in close to 80% in the first couple of weeks of spring. But as we all know, stats can be a little bit misleading, and conventional wisdom isn't always, or shouldn't always, be taken as gospel. So today I've hit the road again, and I am joined by Amanda Thompson of Chisholm and Gaiman Estate Agents in Black Rock, which, for the uninitiated or unaware, it's a beautiful, if not small, beachside suburb of Melbourne. How are you, Amanda?
I'm very good, thank you, Mark.
Very good. Now, before I get into and hit you up for some pearls of wisdom for our listeners who may be considering selling or buying a property in the lead up to Christmas, do you want to give us some background into how you arrived into the world of real estate?
Sure. I actually commenced from a relocation background, in that having lived in Brussels in Belgium, started to assist expats.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
So that was in the late 90s. So yeah. Living in Belgium, I actually assisted expats getting settled, once, you know, coming in from all over, just to choose the right place to live. And then it came time to come back to Australia in 99, and whilst working for some time with a relocation company for about 12 months, in that process of dealing with people and finding them homes, whether to buy or rent, sort of working as their advocate, as you like, it just became clear to me that this was selling real estate full-time was the path that I wanted to take.
Yeah, okay. That's a great story. Brussels. Yes. Yeah. So how did you end up there?
It was a work move.
Yeah, okay.
And it was a great experience for a couple of years. Brussels in itself is a wonderful place, but it's very well located, well positioned to a lot of other wonderful European cities and countries.
So. And everything's just so close over there. So when we travel to WA, it's like traveling from one end of Europe to the other, and you cover so much ground and so much diversity. Yeah.
An hour and a half to Paris.
Yeah.
Just driving around, you take 12 hours to drive down to the south of, you know, down to Italy. Amazing places.
Fantastic.
Italy was amazing.
Yeah, well, my brother and his wife are actually over in Italy. I think they're on the Amalfi Coast at the moment. So, yeah, quite jealous, especially considering the sort of weather we're rolling out at the moment. Now, I'm going to declare to you guys, to listeners, that that I do know Amanda. I haven't just rocked up to Chisholm and Gaiman Bluff Road unannounced. Amanda was actually referred to my wife and I when we were selling our investment property, which is, I reckon, it's nearly a year ago. Nearly a year ago. And one of the reasons I wanted to sit down with yourself, Amanda, was throughout that process, I must say it was a very transparent one. So the whole way through, and that, I don't dare say, is not always an experience that some of our listeners and certainly some of our clients experience when they go about selling a property. And I must say, when you came out and you gave your little quoted range, right, of what we were going to sell it at, I was like, okay. And no doubt, come auction time, you managed to get it smack bang in the middle, which impressed me quite a bit. And since then, I know you've done some work with some clients and some colleagues of ours, and you've managed to do it again. So I'll give you a little pump up there. When you come out with a quoted range, you tend to get it right.
Well, I do, certainly try to be realistic, optimistic, but realistic. Realistic expectations are the one that, vendors that have realistic expectations and the property is marketed, you know, in those realms, are more likely to experience potential competition. You know, in that range, the buyers feel the range is realistic. So that is the best way to achieve the best result of your property.
Cool. Okay. So I'll put you on the spot straight away. Tell us, in your experience, is there a best-selling season? Because we're in spring, mm-hmm. and traditionally, as I said at the start, conventional wisdom is that spring is the selling season. So for our listeners, as I mentioned at the start, that are considering selling, maybe now or in the lead-up to Christmas, mm-hmm. give us your feedback and your thoughts with regards to the season and selling.
And the seasons do change from year to year because the market may be different. So it just depends on the economy and how things are going. But at the moment, there couldn't be a better time than spring to sell your property. Ultimately, the timing is right when it's right for you. But if it's something that you are considering, there wouldn't be a better time than right now. And mostly that's because the supply is quite low and the demand is extraordinarily high. So this is greater than I've ever known it. So
it's really interesting. So when people get caught up on, and I know when we sold our place, in winter, and we achieved a good result in winter, and we've got clients that have achieved results mm-hmm. at various times of the year. You mentioned a couple of things there. Firstly, the prospective seller has to understand what's right for them. So when you're going through that process of understanding what the client's expectations or the situation they're in, knowing their personal circumstance is something that you think is really important, something that the sellers have to think about to start with?
Absolutely. So someone that's potentially downsizing, the beauty of selling at the moment. So if they sell now, or even right on the cusp of spring, so it's we're right there now, it's yep. September, then it gives them opportunity if they sell now and say they get a longer settlement, for instance, of 120 days, so it could give them leeway up until late January, February, around that time frame. Just as well in timing with that, there's a lot more properties coming onto the market for spring, so they're going to have a lot more to pick and choose from as Christmas comes along.
So you touched on that before. Well, like I said, getting away mm-hmm. from season, possibly what's more important is understanding what the demand and the supply is for the mm-hmm. relevant market at that point in time. So you talked about before, the demand in the areas that we're talking mm-hmm. about in Bayside Melbourne is quite strong at the moment, but the number of auctions or the number of properties on the market isn't so high. Is that what we're seeing at the
That's
moment?
Right, yeah, it's still relatively low. So, we're finding, the inquiries, as soon as something, I just put one on the internet yesterday in Hampton, and the inquiries have, the demand is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So the inquiries have just been off the charts, I have to say, the last 24 hours.
And have you got any thoughts as to why there isn't as much that's on the market and there is a lot of pent-up demand still there?
The pent-up demand is... It just seems to have snowballed really from last year. So there's been, there was demand last year, and again, because stock levels have been low, that demand has just, it's stockpiled over that time period. So here we are coupling that with spring, which ordinarily always brings more buyers into the market with that natural moving point.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's really just a pent-up demand over all of that time. And and people that, perhaps they sold last year or early in the year and then there was nothing for them to buy and then they've gone into the rental market.
Mm.
So you've got people that have been renting and they've been out of the market. Those are very worried people.
Yeah,
so they're feeling, here we are, month by month. They might have taken perhaps a bit of a gamble thinking, look, we've seen the peak of the market. Let's rent for a while and we'll buy when the market drops.
Mm.
But invariably, you can never predict when that's going to happen. So you've also got a pent-up demand from people that have moved into the rental market. They're saying, if I don't get into the market now, we're just going to miss it. We'll end up having to move to, in an outer suburb just to try and get back into the market.
Mm.
So we're just finding a little bit of, so the competition is fierce
for
these properties, and that's also spurring on great prices.
Okay. All right, so I'm convinced I'm going to go and put my place on the market. I just got to go home and tell Greg. If I'm looking to put my property on the market, what questions do you feel, as I'm going through that sales process, what questions should I be asking of a prospective sales agent? So I'm coming in to see you, or I'm coming in to see the agent down the road. What sort of questions should we be asking to get a gauge as to why Amanda Thompson or whomever it may be is the right agent for me?
Undoubtedly, experience is something that is always going to go an awful long way in getting and achieving the best possible result on your home. So, you know, an experience, certainly the experience that I have, I've seen all different markets. So from, you know, GFC to, you know, 2000 and 2001, there were markets with September 11 where the market just suddenly stopped for a great period of about 5 months. And then there was, you know, a roller coaster in 2003, 2007, it has been a roller coaster ride. So I have seen a lot of different markets. So, you know, certainly number one question for me, if I was selling my home, would be, you know, who is the person that's going to be standing on my home? Are they experienced to deal with all of the buyers, their questions, their queries, and deal, particularly at the moment, because there is that pent up demand, buyers are frustrated. So it's dealing with those buyers as well. A lot of them are getting fed up. But if they all get fed up at once, they won't be at the auction. So it's really just a case of carrying them through, just encouraging the buyers, encouraging their interest that to maintain that, not be scared off by the market.
Yeah. And so when you're talking about, so experience is one thing that you're talking about. And when you talk about experience, are you talking about experience in the local market as well too, so the market in which they're operating? Or do you feel that a broader experience across various areas, etc., can be beneficial? Or
Look, there's nothing like selling with your local agent that knows, you know, that has been living in the area forever. I mean, I was born and bred Bayside. I went to school in, I went to school in Brighton, went to primary school, went to, high school in Brighton. And, I've always grown up and, grew up in Hampden. I live in Cheltenham because I couldn't afford to buy in Hampden. Certainly being a local living in this area, you know the schools, you know all the great attributes. So you sell it really well. You sell it because you love it. And there's nothing like, having that personal experience. If you've got an agent that doesn't know the area that's sort of coming in, that doesn't have that wide range, you've just completely got your foot in the market, that you know exactly what's going on. So that's going to benefit you as a seller, and it benefits the buyers as well, because they feel comfortable in trusting the information that they're hearing.
So passionate is what I'm hearing from you, being passionate, I suppose, for the properties and for the area, and believing in the area has a big impact. Because at the end of the day, as a seller, you want somebody, most people are emotional about their own properties, be it an investment property or be it their own home. They've got an emotional attachment to it, and they, I dare say, would want someone to feel that emotional attachment as well as their agent, because that can then transfer to potential buyers.
It absolutely does. And people have different reasons for selling, and last month or so I've sold a couple of family homes, or women that have died at age 94 and 95. And and that's very emotional for the families as well. So it's really also getting across to buyers that this has been a really well-loved, well-maintained family home, and it comes with great emotion to pass it on to the next person. So, all of that just reminds me of one that I sold at 99 Sandringham Road, Sandringham, that had been in the family for 93 years. She had, passed away. It had been built by the family, and, that was a huge, to bring that across in a sale was something very important to that family, and found the buyer that was going to keep it, and recognise the craftsmanship and the beauty of the home, and they're going to maintain it that way forevermore.
So that helps to build the story as well. It enables you to, I suppose, build a rapport and understand from the seller's perspective, but it also helps you build the story and probably get the buyer that the seller wants as well too. In certain senses, we're in that situation as well. The place that we bought at the moment was the gentleman that owned it. So our street's pretty tightly held. Not too many people move out of it. And there's been a bit of a regeneration of younger families, etc., moving in. But the family that we bought off was their father had just passed away. Albie apparently is a lovely guy and had been there for like 50, 60 years. And when we purchased the property, we went in and we met with the daughters who were in charge of the sale. And it was a massively emotional experience for them, a hugely emotional experience for them. And it was a great one, I suppose, for us as well too. So, and when I think about it, when we came to do the renovations and the works that we did to the property, I got no doubt that it made us a little bit more sensitive to what Albie had built originally as well too. So we tried to build something that was in keeping with the feel of the original home and the feel of the street, and one that didn't piss the neighbours off basically as well too. So you mentioned before as well, selling a property for many people can be a stressful time, and they've got different motivations for doing so. For many of us that have an emotional attachment to our property, sometimes we can be led to believe that it's worth more than it is, and we may be led by that because well-meaning friends that will turn around and see a result and go, oh yeah, that got such and such, you should be able to get X or Y or Z. Or again, under competition from agents that are looking to list the property, they're turning around and they might say, okay, well look, this is what we can, and you also tend to hear what you want to hear when you're looking to sell a property. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you can share with our listeners that for sellers to avoid when they're going through that process of listing their property for sale?
And I think that often that a lot of the results in the media that are reported, they're the hysterical results. The ones that have just gone, what they read are ones that say, this owner just scooped $250,000 more than they're expecting, on the auction.
The headline ones, so it's going to grab attention, but don't focus. Yeah.
And so it's really, it's all of so this it's understandable that people are going to hear those things and say, well, look, mine must be worth, X amount more. So it's really important to, a lot of those, and you've got to look at the reasons that those prices might have been achieved. It may have been in the general residential zone, so it might have been, developers that could potentially do a big apartment block, for instance. These sales that I'm reading about in Baldwin, you think, here's this cream brick veneer that just sold 12 months later for $6.2 million, which is, just about $700,000 more than what it did last year.
Yeah.
But again, it has the capacity with the commercial zone for, development. So it's really about just ensuring that, in the presentation they might have, it's amazing what a difference that makes. So you have to do, these people that get the great results as well, they go to an extraordinary degree to often get that presentation right. The competition is very fierce, and the standard is very, very high of what, with the presentation, and it's having the right marketing ideas and things, if it's something that does have, if it does have a view, if it's right close to the water, and, choosing the right, the right strategy to sell your home can potentially make you many, many thousands more. So it's really important to do the right sort of marketing. It's one of the things. So a big mistake that perhaps someone can do is say, well, look, have you got a buyer? Could you just bring one person through and sell it? In a market like it is right now, you'll never know if that was as good as you could have got.
So it's interesting you mentioned that. Can I just ask you on that? So quite often when we talk about the value proposition of agents, you'll find that, okay, a great result will happen in an area, and no doubt part of the crowd, if not a lot of the crowd, tend to be neighbours, etc., getting a feel for what's happening in their street or in the surrounding area, and they'll turn around and go to an agent, okay, well, hey, you know what? You don't need to spend all this money on marketing. I know you had 20 people in the I saw what happened at the auction. There's a few people that have missed out. Here's my property. Go and ask one of those guys. You got them on your list, and go and see what you get. Are you saying that, look, okay, that can work sometimes, but that can also sometimes be a mistake because the person that wants your property doesn't necessarily, or for whatever reason, wasn't at the right time at that previous auction?
Yeah, so often, exactly. So it just might be a lot of reasons like timing that, there's new people that come onto the market every day. So it might be that, that property may have different, people that have missed out on a particular property, they often feel, they'll look at something else and go, oh, it's not as good as that one. It's not as good as that one. So often you need to test the property in the market and get a whole new, group of people as well. You can have those people in addition to certainly add competition. But often when someone's had their heart set on something and they've lost out, it often takes them, a couple of weeks or so to, they feel quite raw and just say that we really love that. It was just perfect for us. So, the homes have different attributes. So often you're better off, and then, of course, only just having one person through, for instance, and, they make an offer, it's a little hard to judge if that's as good as it gets.
Yeah. You mentioned again there as well, just that little process when someone misses out and the emotion that goes with that process. And you also mentioned earlier around the different motivations of a seller as well too. So it can work on the flip side from a buyer's perspective as well, that we can have all of this information that's at our fingertips, which I dare say, buyers as well as sellers are a lot more educated. Would that be a fair point?
Yeah, everyone's more educated. Everything's available online. You can, they pay $70 for a report, and, from things that we, you know, all subscribe to, that, you know, all the information is there so they can look at X, Y, and Z and say, well, look, you know, ours is roughly, you know, often by the time you're sitting with that potential vendor, they've already done a lot of that homework. So you're presenting them often with information that they already have.
Which is, I mean, which it can be challenging, I suppose, in a part as an agent, but can also be good because you'd rather deal with an educated seller and probably deal with an educated buyer as opposed to one that's not. Would I be right? Or is that you know, would you rather deal with those educated...
No, I'm happy dealing with anyone. And then if they, you know, if they are just new to the market or new to the area, then I'll provide them with information as well. I get great enjoyment out of, you know, say, look, you've just started, you know, you've moved here from Sydney. Would you like some of the sales in the surrounding areas to give you an idea?
Yeah.
So one that I'm selling at the moment, which just went online yesterday, just again, to give people a feel of perhaps, you know, what are we looking at? Now providing them with... you know, with quite a few similar properties, say six in the surrounding streets that have been on, you know, that are similar sort of land, similar type of renovation, number of bedrooms, bathrooms, just to assist them as well, so that they can also make their own assessment on perhaps where the property may be. We give a range, but then there's, you know, the price that's achieved at the end could be an emotional one. So regardless of those results, at least it sort of guides them and lets them have confidence in how much they should be spending for a home.
Yeah, and what we talk about a lot in finance is always understanding what your worst case scenario is, which ties in really with property as well too, and being able to make informed decisions and being able to buy that next property or make a decision to sell a property. If you understand your worst case scenario, it empowers you to, you know, even set reserves, et cetera, throughout that process. Okay, so some mistakes that we commonly see is, like, so the marketing of the property, the presentation of the property is something you touched on as well too. So not taking the time to necessarily present a property. Does that though also come back to knowing who you're selling to? Because sometimes you'll see properties on the internet that you would think aren't presented that well and will achieve a great result. Is that because they understand that sometimes it's not worth chucking some extra bucks into making it look the absolute best it can because the buyer is going to do that anyway? Like, it might be one that's a fixer-upper or a you know, you see them renovators, the lights, or a developer, or it might be a much more narrow market, but, you know, sometimes putting the extra bucks into that isn't worthwhile. So knowing your market's important?
It is.
Or always err on the side of presenting well.
You know, even if it's... even if people sort of say, look, it's only just the land, if you present it like it's land, it will be land.
Yeah, okay.
If you, you know, it's amazing how, you know, just simply even a coat of paint, you know, tidying up the garden and, you know, washing down all the, you know, the walls and the windows and, you know, and putting some in, it just may encourage other buyers to say, well, look, you know what, we could renovate this. This just might work. So that just may increase your pool of buyers. But if you present it just as land, if that's just the way it is and you say, look, it doesn't matter, this is what it's going to be, that might give a seller some relief thinking, oh, look, that's great, I can't be bothered anyway. But you just could be costing yourself thousands.
It's interesting you say that. So we went through the process of a pretty basic styling of our little property when you were selling it at your suggestion. And I'm actually interviewing a lady by the name of Georgia Kay next week, who's a home staging business. And so what you're saying there is that, and it appears to me that there is a lot of that that's going on nowadays. Like, as a percentage, how many properties would you see, I suppose, being staged or styled before they're being sold?
I would say of vacant properties, I would say 95%.
Okay.
I mean, how often do you sort of see, now when you're looking on the internet, how often do you see an empty property?
Yeah, true.
So, and it's really just the level of, again, if it's a family home and people are living there, you still have to live there. You know, you've still got kids, you're coming home, you're having dinner, you're doing all of those things. So it just might be a case of, you know, just simply moving things around in an existing home just to open up spaces. You don't want to walk into, you know, the front door of a home and, for instance, you know, there's a big cat post, which I saw yesterday. It was a massive tower.
So how do you go about telling them that the cat post isn't really going to do them any good? Without offending and trying to create
rapport. Not initially. Yeah. It was just, I didn't say anything initially, but it's just as you're sort of looking around and then you can sort of get a feel of what might be the right sort of things because you don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
So it was simply that it was clear that was a very important piece of furniture for for socks, the cat.
Yeah.
And so I just recommended that, you know, it was, you know, that not be where it was. I'd recommend that we just move it, see around here in this spot here. So it's just not the first thing.
Yep.
It's sort of in the corner of the room so that when you, you know, again, doing photography of the property, it's going to be actually in a corner that won't be photographed because you'd be looking back. So that'll keep socks happy and the owner happy.
Very good. So aside from socks, like what we do is a lot of the guys that we've interviewed in this series is get them to share some sort of funny, it could be interesting, bizarre, and I dare say you've got plenty over the journey of experiences that you've had when you've come to listing or selling a property. Is there anything that you could share with our listeners? Any stories that really stick out over the journey? And it might have been a great result. It might have been a challenging one, or as I said, it might be just a really funny story. You've probably got too many.
A spooky one.
It's one without question. Yes, yeah, spooky be good.
A spooky one.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to sell a property on South Road, Brighton, and it had been, so I've only actually had three jobs. I was 13 years in a medical practice for the first one.
Yeah.
So it was one of the GPs, and I was fortunate enough, he always said, you're going to be selling my home, which he willed for me to sell.
Okay.
I didn't receive the proceeds, of course, but he always said, no, I'm going, when this happens, you're going to be selling my home. Beautiful big home.
And so that was detailed in his will that you would be, okay.
So I sold that in South Road, so I worked for two GPs, one that lived in South Road, another one that lived around the corner.
Yeah.
And both had died sort of within about 3 years of one another. And so the funny thing was when I was selling the home on South Road, so we had a very, you know, vigorous auction, and the people who bought it, and I sat down and, you know, starting to write up contracts, and the purchaser's address was the other doctor's address.
Oh, wow.
So on the same contract, I've got both, you know.
Yeah.
You know, both doctors' addresses were, so I sold it to the people who were living in the other doctor's house.
And did they, and so when you saw that, like, when did you pick that up?
It was only, not until we sat down.
Not at the point.
Said, what is your home address? I had a relationship throughout that, you know, their buying process.
Yeah.
I knew that they lived where they were, but they were, you know, they were local, but I didn't say, what was your address?
And
that was just the strangest situation where, you know, here I am sitting in the dining table of one doctor's home, and I could just imagine him laughing. I could imagine them both laughing over my shoulder.
Would have been good if, aside from just willing you to sell the property, that some proceeds could have come. That would have been in South Road, Brighton.
I have a beautiful painting from his wife.
Oh, fantastic. Very good, very good. Well, thank you very much for your time, Amanda. I understand that you are flat out, especially during this spring period. Listeners, I encourage you again to continue to shoot through your questions. As we've told you previously, a lot of our content is derived by the questions that you shoot through. If you've got a question directly for Amanda, is it okay if they shoot you through an email directly?
Please.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah. Throw us over your email address.
So my email's athompson. Without a P, so athomson at chisholmgaiman.com.au. Chisholmgaiman, chisholmgaiman.
There you go, guys. So you might have to repeat that. You might have to reverse a little bit on the podcast and make sure that you get the email address. But any queries or any questions that you've got when it comes to selling a property, I can vouch for, as I said at the start, the transparent nature with which Amanda dealt with us. Also, make sure that you tune in to our Whiteboard Wednesday this week, and please review our podcast on iTunes. As I alluded to earlier, we're going to touch on a topic there that Amanda mentioned around marketing your property in the area of home staging or property styling. So we're going to give you a little bit more of an insight as to what it's all about, whether it's worth it, and how it can and help you potentially get a better price for your property. Until then, look forward to your company. Cheers.
For more information about this podcast or to ask a burning question, visit www.financepath.com.au/podcasts.